Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio. Brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
I kind of wanted the open to play out a little bit there because this the lyrics are very appropriate for this weekend. Oh, baby, the Bills need to be ready to go Sunday. I mean, they just need to be ready to go. They were not ready to go last week against the Miami Dolphins, and that showed up in the game, and that showed up after the game when players talked about it. And they said, basically, the Dolphins wanted it more. The Dolphins played harder than them. You're talking about leaders of the Buffalo Bills. The quarterback, Josh Allen, who basically said it in his post-game press conference. What did he say? They wanted it more, something, whatever his quote was. And Deion Dawkins said essentially the same thing, played harder. Spencer Brown, Daquan Jones, I believe, was in on this. Pretty stunning to hear that. At the same time, I'll tell you, you know, it's hard. It's hard in the NFL every single week. It's such an emotional game to be on top of your A game emotionally every single week for 17 games. But that was unacceptable last week, I think, would be the word I would use when you hear people say that. So now what do you do about it? Well, you don't, like, just go and start benching people who, you know, oh, you weren't emotionally ready. No, you fix it. And you say, what do we have to do to get ready to make sure everybody understands what's at stake and how you have to prepare and be ready to play? Because that's kind of few and far between with this team. It hasn't happened much. But it did happen last week, and it can't happen again. It can't happen this week against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Bills take on the Bucs. It is Sunday at 1 p.m., the final ever scheduled 1 p.m. game at Highmark Stadium. I'm assuming the last game of the year against the Jets will be a 1 p.m. game, but maybe not. Even though the Jets will not be fighting for playoff position, the Bills could very well be. And if they are in a battle with another team who seeding could be like impacted by whoever wins or loses, that game could be 4 o'clock. It could be a 4:25 game, week 18. So I'm just telling you right now, like, This could be the final ever 1 p.m. home game at this current stadium, because there's no guarantee they're even having a playoff game at this stadium right now, which is wild to think about because where the Bills are in the standings, chasing the New England Patriots. Get into all of that today. We'll take a look around the league. I'll talk about last night in a couple different respects, not just the football game, and a look ahead to Sunday and the rest of week 11 already in the NFL, which is wild to think about. Here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday, brought to you by Celino Law. Car crash, call Celino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. Good morning. Sal Capaccio with you here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It is a Buffalo Football Friday, which means Bills head coach Sean McDermott will join me. Expecting him a little over an hour from now. So you never know. Sometimes the schedule gets changed a little bit here and there. And we find out he's coming aboard earlier or later. But here, in this situation, we're going to be having Pat Hammer on 11:30. So hopefully, well, Sean McDermott, as we have the last few weeks, right before that, leading into that, because we need to give you a weather update too. Because it looks like it's going to, it's been changing all week. I've been looking at this rain that's coming. Oh, it's going to be rainy. Oh my God, mixing the snow. Now the precipitation seems less, but it is going to be colder, and windy. I hate that. I don't like that. I don't like that. The wind hits you when it's the wind chill that really gets you when you're on the sidelines and you're in the stadium. Like, oh my gosh. But at the same time, isn't that like when you think about a team from Florida coming to Buffalo, you think about, yep, that's what we want. You're in Buffalo. Maybe that'll help the Bills in some respect. We'll check in on the Buccaneers as well by looking at their injury report, and I'll have some thoughts on where they are as we go forward here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott, a little over an hour from now, we'll get an injury update, a game status update for Sunday's game. And really, the Bills are, you know, dealing with a lot of injuries. They have been all year. But to be quite honest with you, the injury report is actually, to me, pretty darn encouraging. And especially when you consider 14 names. When you have 14 names on your injury report, that's not a good sign. But for having 14 names, I'm actually pretty encouraged. Not sure what's going to happen with Khalil Shakir. That is the one we are all kind of watching because we're pretty sure, you know, Dalton Kincaid will be ruled out once McDermott comes on the radio here in about an hour. It is the Christmas holiday season. I think officially, even though it's not Thanksgiving. For a couple of reasons here. Number one, we had a holiday Christmas movie premiere last night that I went to, which I'll get to later. But I got to the building today, and what did I see? The big Christmas tree going up. Dan, have you ever seen the Christmas tree, the one that's going up there? Dan Dale, have you ever seen that?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I didn't know if you were here long enough. You've seen that before.
Oh, yeah. No, it's always gigantic.
It's
they
amazingly
always get
huge.
The stairs nice and like holidayed up too.
So if you haven't been here to Corporate Parkway, where our offices are, our studios are, and all that, the way it works is there's several businesses downstairs, and then, you know, we're located up top. There's another couple businesses up top. There's a walkway leading to another building across the way. But when you have to come up to the Odyssey Studios and the offices, it's a double staircase. So you go up one, then there's a landing, and then you turn, you go up another one. And I counted today. I believe there's 14. If I counted right, I was trying to count as I missed a few. And I said, oh, I should count these. And there's 14 steps to get to the landing. And then there's probably another, you know, 10 to 15 again, whatever it is. The tree extends beyond that landing of 14 steps. That's how tall it is. It's a big freaking tree. And every year, it seems like I come in when they're actually putting the tree up. And then I think about all the lights that have to go up on that tree. I'm like, I do not want to burn the person who puts the lights up on that tree.
The lights, the ornaments.
The ornaments. The tree. They have boxes all over the place down there. We've had our holiday parties here before. And I don't know if it'll be here again this year. There's some work being done in the building. I've heard it's not. But either way, like, it looks fantastic. But anyway, that's how I know the holiday season's here. Also because Casa Capaccio also has its tree up. We put our tree up. Yeah, we did. My wife said it last week. She's like, I don't care. I'm doing it earlier this year. Like, I don't want to wait. I want Christmas to be here. It's all good. I think that's cool. It's all good to me. There's no rule on when you can. I have seen people's Christmas tree up inside their house during the summer. They just don't have it actually lit up. It's just there so they don't have to do the damn thing come November, December. You know what I mean? It's just there.
Now, Sal, are you a real tree person or a fake
tree? Ooh. We've done both. I'll say we've done both. So, over the years, we've done both. My mom actually had a really nice tree this year that she said, I want to give you this tree. So, we have the non-real one this year, but it's really nice. And my mom gave it to me. She has a different tree this year. So, really nice tree we have. But it is up already. And the really big tree is going up in the offices here at Corporate Parkway. So it is the holiday season. We had the premiere of the Hallmark movie last night. I want to touch on that as well. It was a fantastic night in East Aurora, so we'll get to that. Maybe. I don't know if I can bring myself to it, Owen, to talk about the Sabres at all. But I might have to mention them at least because they did play last night. And for two games in a row, they've lost by 3 goals on a road trip to start it.
Yeah, good for them.
Is this
for...
our obligatory talk about the Sabres after another loss?
Feels like now it's been a few Fridays in a row I've been in here just doing my work, and you're like, I guess I got to talk about the Sabres. Is there something? Yeah, it's...
You know what it is, too, that's like pulling the rug out from me the last couple nights?
Yeah.
That's the other part of it. Like having the lead in Utah.
Right.
And then tying the game last night in Colorado.
I know.
And it's like, okay, well, you know what? Might have this. Maybe we can do something. Nah, pull the rug.
I wish I got that.
Pull the rug.
Leaving it. They are just, it's ugly right now. The injuries is really tough to overcome.
It is very, they're very tough.
But they are also, their best players are not.
Tate played better last night.
He was fine last night, but that Utah game left a real nasty taste in my mouth.
Yep. I don't disagree.
And,
I got to the game late last night. I was at this premiere. Did both goalies play last night?
They did. Lyon started the game.
They pull him?
Gave up two and they pulled him.
Okay, I didn't know. Because I saw UPL in, and then when I saw highlights, I saw Lyon. I'm like, wait a minute, what happened here?
Lyon gave up the first two.
Okay.
And then I think Lindy knew, like, this is going to get away from us quick.
Yeah.
Something has to happen. So he you know, gave Lyon the hook, gave him the night off, and put UPL in there, who I thought played pretty well for the most part, and then kind of it all fell apart. They got to beat Detroit tomorrow.
I mean.
Or they are
it's
in.
Just, they are the only team in the league I read that's still without a road victory, by the way. They're the only team in the NHL without a road victory. So speaking of holidays, it's not a real holiday, but it's like Groundhog Day again, right? I mean, like, we're here every year, it feels like, every year.
It really is. I was so optimistic after they had that opening three-game skid, and then
they
the
played
next
well.
Five, six, seven games, I was like, this team can play. They get healthy, they are going to be really good, and that has just crashed and burned.
I was excited after the Washington game, the win and the shootout, the energy in the building. I was there that night. It was really nice energy. We talked about this, like, Giannis says to me, man, this is great. Like this is really the loudest I've heard the building. And I'm like, that's what it should be all the time, right? And then pretty much since then. It's very, unfortunately, reminiscent of last year going to San Jose, going on that road trip, winning in San Jose. I was in that game. I was at that game in San Jose last year.
Right.
In November, right around the same time.
It was.
And then they go on the 13-game
Colorado and there
winless
you go.
Streak, right?
Right. And even Colorado is a part of it. Like, it's
that's right.
all very
unfortunately. Very similar to that. Hey, if anybody wants to just chime in on the Sabres, you are more than welcome because that's what we do here. We talk about the Buffalo sports teams, but it is a Buffalo Football Friday. So we'll talk about the Bills and their upcoming opponent, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and where the Bills are in the standings right now, especially after what happened last night with the New England Patriots moving to 9-2. 9-2. Whew. It is going to be tough to catch the Patriots. The Bills are 3 wins behind New England. And they lost to him head-to-head. Now, if you want the good news, but the Bills still have to make it good news, the Bills have 2 games in the next 6 days. So, in 5 days, you want to call it from Sunday. They have 2 games. The Buccaneers, the Texans in Houston on a Thursday night. A week from today, a week from right now, there's 3 different scenarios here, right? This is 3 different scenarios. We know the Patriots are going to be 9-2. I'm either coming in here a week from today and saying, all right, the Bills are 8-3 and they are 1 game behind New England. And this is live. Let's rock and roll. Let's play the feud, as Owen's dad says. Let's do it. Like that's in the window, folks. The Bills could be. If the Bills take care of business Sunday and Thursday, 8-3. New England 9-2, and you still play them. Now you're gonna have to hope they lose another game on top of you beating them because of head to head and division tiebreakers and all that. But you're there. Let's go. I could also come in and say 7-4. It doesn't feel great. You're still alive. You're probably still fighting for a wild card. You still have a chance, but you're going to have to really beat New England and then hope for a lot of help along the way. Maybe not as much a lot of help, but definitely help. I could also come in here and say, holy cow, 6-5. They're fighting for their playoff lives heading into week 13, because by then it'll be past week 12 for them. I mean, the season, the trajectory of the season, who would have thought, really kind of rides on the Buccaneers / Texans 4-day stretch. Because that is a wild swing of how we talk about and feel about this team. Now, they could win both, they could lose both, they could split. And I think that we're all still going to be looking at how they do it. How do they play? Are they finding their rhythm and way out of whatever they've dug themselves into offensively in the passing game? Because they just cannot seem to figure out how to get into that rhythm and not make it look so darn difficult every time they throw the ball. Because it looks hard, really hard. Again, I didn't watch all of the Patriots game last night, probably most of the second half, I'd say, by the time I got home from the movie premiere. And even what I saw, it was close. It got to a 7-point game. And it's like Drake May just drops back and there's guys open. Like, okay, he just throws to a guy. He's open. It just doesn't feel like that with the Bills, right? So, yeah. 803-0550. Let's take your phone calls today on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Let's start it off with Matt, who's in Hamburg, who chimes in first. Good morning to you, Matt.
Good morning, Sal. Just wanted to, you know, you opened up the show today talking about the couple of Bills who said after the game that, you know, they just wanted it more.
Yep.
I heard that at the time they said it and immediately cringed. I think it's a symptom of the culture that McDermott has built in Buffalo, and that's not meant as criticism. I think that they resort to saying something like that because anything else would sound like making excuses. And, you know, they can't say at some point defensive injuries stack up. They can't say, you know, we don't have receivers who are getting open. Those would sound awful to say publicly. And then I think a lot of people heard them say it and they ran with it saying, oh my goodness, we have a problem, like when they come out there and don't want it as much. But I just fail to believe that that's the case. Have you ever seen Josh Allen go out there and not want it?
No, and again, I think there's a difference between, I like your point, I do, and I do think there's a difference between them saying they didn't want it, but the other team wanting it more. Like, I don't think the Bills didn't not want it. I think they were taken aback by how much Miami came out as a spirited team, given their situation, if that makes sense.
That's fair.
You know, and that's still criticism, though. You can't let that happen. You got to put your foot on that team immediately. They fired their GM. They have 2 wins on the year. They're not going anywhere. They almost apparently traded their, you know, top weapon to the Buffalo Bills. But I don't think, Matt, that it was. I like your point a lot. This is interesting. You're right. They can't say that. They can't say injuries and that's the reason why. They can't say our receivers aren't getting open. Like, that's not going to happen. They're not throwing each other under the bus, and that is the culture of the team. But I also don't think it means that they didn't like want to win the game. What I think it means to me, the way I interpret it, being in the locker room and listening to these guys talking to them, it's that was a 2-7 team that came out here and wanted to play football, and we kind of didn't really expect that. And that again, that's a problem. It doesn't have to be an overlying symptom, right, of anything. It could be a 1-week problem, and that's where you hope that changes this week. Down in Charlotte is Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, Sal. Good morning.
Morning.
Funny story for the Panthers game here. I ran into a lady and her son. I guess the son was in a fantasy football team with you. I think her name was Flippy. Super nice lady. Very fond of you. But hey, the reason for my phone call is regarding the...
By the way, I know exactly who you're talking about. Is a friend of mine who lives in Florida, and they are very, very big Bills fans. Yeah, they're very big Bills fans, and they were at the game, so I do know.
Show me your fantasy team.
I love it.
But Boston, Bill's 2026 salary cap question, and this is kind of pertaining to the Jalen Waddle trade or what could have been.
Yeah.
2026 is still pretty tight, right?
Yes.
A lot of high-end contracts. But the key contract that's fallen off or might fall off is the Matt Milano contract. Given the fact that the draft class this year is not very strong by any means, but there is depth at linebacker and wide receiver, do you think Bean just kind of just wanted to have something in the back end of his, you know, in case he wasn't able to re-sign Matt Milano or be able to restructure a few deals to keep him?
So here's the thing that you're going to be like, oh, really? Matt Milano actually has a void year at his deal. That's what they did when they restructured. He's actually going to count $11 million next year against the cap, not on the team.
There it is. There it is.
Yeah. Now, what I learned, though, I will tell you this, Ryan. I didn't know this, and I learned this recently. If they do re-sign Milano to a much smaller deal, the $11 million just gets pushed down the road more. Like, it doesn't count double, if that makes sense. So let's say they're like, you know what? For salary cap purposes, we think we'd like to keep Matt for another year. And hey, you know, we'll see if he can be the same Matt Milano or not, and you know, all that. But you don't have to count that 11 if you want to sign him to a lesser deal and then push the 11 another year down the road.
Yeah. Well, the only reason I was asking more so about the salary cap was because even though we're out of the dig space, we still have Von Miller's dead salary cap on our books, too.
I think that went away last year. I don't believe so, but I'll take a look this year. It might be. Yeah, it might be from this year. Let me look real quick.
It was about
$15 million this year. That's right. I'm looking at 26 where he's not, but yeah, 15 this year. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So that just goes back to it. It's just I don't see the depth in the draft class this year, which, to be honest with you, if you're in the Bills position and you're expecting to pick in the top 20, sorry, the bottom tier of the first round, and you need that splash, what are you holding on to this pick for? I just don't get it.
Yeah, I think, Ryan, it's a good question, and people are frustrated about it, but I guess the answer would be he didn't want to be without a first and a third in the same draft next year when you need cheaper, younger labor to come in and work, to put it, you know, some way, I guess, but cheaper players that are good, and you higher draft picks who are younger, cheaper, they're going to help you right away, and they probably feel because they are against the cap next year, think of it that way, because they are against the cap next year, I'm thinking Brandon Bean's reason for saying I don't want to give up a 1 and a 3 in 2026 is I need those players to come in and play next year for me. So, and we could say, no, I don't care. Heck with the picks. Go get Jalen Waddle. I totally get that. But that's probably the reason you're looking at. Rudy in Orlando. Hi, Rudy.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Saul, good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
I met your friend, the redheaded dude down in Miami.
Oh yeah.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah, yeah. My friend Mike told me you might be getting a call from someone named Rudy in Orlando. So this is you. Go ahead.
Yeah, this is me, man. Yeah. Hey, I just want to say to the Bills fans that, you know, like, I know we've got like a, you know, like, we haven't started so hot this year, but I just want to say that it's not how you start, it's how you finish.
Mm-hmm.
So that's it, man.
All right, buddy. Rudy, thanks a lot, man. Good to hear from you. I appreciate you calling. Thank you. Down there in Orlando. Let's go to Dennis in Lockport. Hi, Dennis. You're on WGR.
Hey, guys. Hey, just kind of want to get your guys' opinion, but you ever see the movie All the Right Moves?
It's a great movie. I love that movie. That's Tom Cruise in the neck roll, baby.
Except for Bean is doing all the wrong moves. And I'm sorry, but when you start looking down at some of the stuff that we have, we got rid of a training department because they weren't strong enough, and now we look at the issues we have. We got rid of some players. Holland went over to New England there. We should have never let him go. He was our Gabe Davis replacement. Now we got Gabe who can't play yet. And we put all our money into players that in the beginning of the season couldn't even play. And now we're in even a worse situation now. And, you know, where does this end? Because it's kind of starting to become a repetitive thing every year. Well, maybe like last year wasn't when we were worried we were getting in, but the year before, yeah, the Bills had to go on a hell of a stretch and win it all out just to get there. And it sounds like we're right back in that same problem, and we're wasting the Josh Allen years. On that, I'll leave it to you guys for your response.
Well, I'll say this. I think that the Matt Collins point is revisionist history. Were you clamoring for them to pay $10 million for Matt Collins? I think that he's doing well there. There's no doubt. And I'm not going to debate, Dennis, that they couldn't use a guy like him right now, but they paid him $10 million for 2 years. And for the role he plays and he's going to play, I think that's revisionist history. I'm not saying everything move has been perfect. You're right. And they do have injury questions, and they did move on and replace the head trainer. And there's been questions about soft tissue injuries, and Sean McDermott has brought that up. Things haven't been perfect, but I think an example like that is just revisionist history. Nobody here, unless you were, I guess, maybe complaining they were not paying Mac Hollins $10 million for the next 2 years. Right? Oh, he hung up. It's all good. Let's go. I know Mac Hollins has done a nice job. It'd be nice to have Mac Hollins on this team. He signed a $8.4 million deal with the Patriots with another $2 million in incentives. So it's 10.4 for 2 years, 8.4, you know, off the table there, like, bam, right away. And you can look at it now and say that would have been nice. I don't know if anybody was saying that in the offseason. He had, like, 300 yards receiving. He did lead the team in receiving touchdowns, though. Ben in Amherst. Hi, Ben. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
I'm good, thanks.
You know, I think we'll see a different team this weekend. I think the weather may have been a bigger factor in that last game than most people thought. I'll tell you, man, like my time in the military, I flew from Montana to Iraq my last tour, and I remember opening that plane door, man, in, you know, a 60-degree weather change, thinking, oh, and it was like 2 or 3 days before you kind of get your feet underneath you and get adjusted to the weather. Going from here to almost 90 and 60% humidity, I think it might have zapped those guys maybe a little bit more than everybody thinks. You know, I wasn't down there last week, and I'm sure you could attest to it, but it's tough to do those changes of weather and, you know, get your legs underneath you and play a competitive ball game. I think it might have drained those guys a little bit. I think this weekend it'll be a little bit different. It might be a little bit easier for them in this more temperate weather, and I think just that alone maybe we'll see a different ball team. What do you think, Sal?
Yeah, look, I would say this. This was not like it was a few years ago when the weather and the heat was causing IVs and cramping and all that. But what I think happened with the weather, the reason why, and this is the Bills' own doing, the defense was on the field for so long, it just became too, it was not sustainable for them anymore. You know what I mean? And that's because the offense wasn't converting first downs, and that's on them. So not going to use the weather as an excuse. I do think, though, that the defense was very severely stressed by that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I would agree.
Hey, Ben, on this Veterans Day week, thank you very much for your service, man.
Thanks for your support, Sal.
Yeah, you got it. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you. Great start to the show on a Buffalo Football Friday. Got a lot more on the way, including Sean McDermott after 11 a.m. So that means a full half hour left of your phone calls at 803-0550. We'll bounce around the league and take a look at week number 11, which is coming up. Another overseas game coming up this weekend. And then we're also going to touch on what happened last night. Really fun night out in East Aurora, I want to tell you about, and how cool that was to be a part of the movie premiere and all the great Bills fans who came out and really just kind of supported, because that's what Bills fans and Buffalo does, right? Even in the weather we had. We'll take a timeout right here on WGR.
Just being able to, you know, build up all the running on my knee, which I feel like I have. Again, like I said, I'm ready to go. Just whenever they call me up is when I'm up. My tips come from, you know, the best guys I've ever been around. Stephon Diggs, Cole Beasley, John Brown, Emmanuel Sanders. These guys have been able to help me throughout my career, and I just kind of pass it along. And that helped me become a better player when I was here.
I like that from Gabe Davis. That's Gabe Davis. Find that audio on demand at WGR550.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
So he's talking about guys he's played with and what he's learned. Stephon Diggs, John Brown, Cole Beasley, Emmanuel Sanders. That was you think about that wide receiver core, and then you compare and contrast it to this wide receiver core, right? There's a pretty one big difference I want to point out to everybody, though, right? Josh Allen was on a rookie contract back then. Essentially, not every year. I mean, he started to make some more money, you know, after his third, fourth year. But it is different how you have to build a team now. But I think one thing we've seen is here, I think what's happening, and it's kind of clear to everybody, as much as it's everybody eats can work because you can create matchups and everybody's a good pass catcher. I think philosophically that works fine. It feels like the Bills just still need that critical person to know. He's the guy. He's the target. He's the number one. And you can even call that Dalton Kincaid, but he's a tight end. And he's not on the field as much as a Keon Coleman or even a Khalil Shakir, right? It just because you're using three tight ends, you're running the ball. And now they're going to be missing Dalton Kincaid almost certainly. We will get the final game status injury report from Sean McDermott coming up here a little more than a half hour from now. About a half hour from now, I should say. Sometime after 11 a.m. We'll get him in the 11 a.m. hour. Sean McDermott will give us the final game status injury report for the Bills and the Buccaneers. We'll also take a look at the Bucs injury report because I think it's a super interesting team and game that they're playing. And that's going to include Bucky Irving, their excellent running back who helps out in the pass game from the backfield. If Bucky Irving plays and he's healthy in this game, that is a much bigger challenge for this Bills defense because of all the things he can do. But we'll see what they do with him. My sense is they'll say he's questionable on the Buccaneers injury report, but it feels a little ambitious to get him out there now. Although, he just came back from 6 weeks off and he's coming up to a cold weather game. And Todd Bowles said he wants to see him take a hit on the shoulder. So I don't know how you do that unless you put him in a little bit. I guess you could do that to see where he goes, and they have him ready for next week. So maybe a limited role. Then you have Chris Godwin, I think less likely to play, but still could be questionable. He's been dealing with the fibula after having the broken leg earlier. So, yeah, there's a lot of there's a lot of questions on both sides here. And on the Bills side, the number one name I think we're watching and we're listening for is Khalil Shakir. Because if Shakir doesn't play, or if he does play, it's really going to kind of, it's going to impact how the Bills go about their roster between now, tomorrow at 4 p.m., which is the elevation deadline, and then Sunday morning, game time, active inactive. So let me just kind of lay out what I think, and then we'll get more into this when Sean McDermott gives us his actual report. But here's how I see it, okay? Khalil Shakir is very, very, to me, up in the air to play in this game. He has had a red non-contact jersey for two straight days. He has been limited. But let's remember, they have a game 4 days later, and he's dealing not only with an ankle injury, but ribs, right? Both ribs and ankle. Khalil Shakir, even if he plays and you think we can throw him a few balls here and there and keep him limited, that's fine. Can he still be your punt returner? Right now, he's your punt returner. I don't know if you want to do that. He takes one shot, guy running down, bam. You can have him fair catch everything, but you never know. So what does that look like? Who returns punts? It could be a simple swap out of Brandon Codrington, who is on the roster. He is on the 53-man roster. He could just go right into that role, make him active, and you could do that. You also have Mecole Hardman waiting in the wings now as a return man who has more actual returns than anybody in this organization right now and is 11th amongst all active players in the NFL in yards per return, over 9.2 yards of return, or 9.2. And I don't know if I don't know if that's an option right away, but you have to think about that if you don't want Khalil Shakir to put more on his plate to possibly get injured or hurt, even if he is playing at wide receiver to do that punt return. If he's not playing at all at wide receiver, that becomes even more so of an option. However, what do you do with Gabe Davis then? Because I thought it was going to be, yeah, it looks like Gabe Davis is getting ready to play. He's going to play this Sunday. But with Shakir's situation, I don't know. Because if you need Hardman, then I don't think you can elevate two receivers. You can, like technically, but how does that work? How does that fit? You could just do Codrington for Shakir and then elevate Gabe Davis. That might be the call. That might be the way to do it. Because one thing to remember here is Dalton Kincaid being out again. With Dalton Kincaid out, and thankfully Josh Palmer back, but with Dalton Kincaid out, you will probably only roll with two tight ends. So you do have the extra roster spot also right there to play with. There's a lot of what we like to refer to as roster gymnastics. I think the Bills have to play through here. Now, they know, obviously, and they've been planning all week for what Khalil's status could be. Unless we're told today, hey, game time decision. We don't know. We'll see how he feels. The Bills actually only have 52 men on their 53-man roster. But I think that's an easy fix right there because, to me, it feels like that's going to be TJ Sanders' spot. The rookie defensive tackle started practicing again this week. They have 21 days to actually put him on the roster. I feel like that's going to happen by tomorrow at 4 p.m. because they're without Fedarian Mathis this week, or at least they have been through practice, I should say. So it sounds like it'll be Kincaid and Mathis that might be ruled out. And if Mathis is ruled out, you do have four other defensive tackles on the roster, but with the injuries at defensive end and only having four of them, you probably want to give TJ Sanders a spot back there. And then you have a total of nine guys without Mathis if he's unavailable. It's confusing for me to talk about it, let alone listen to, I'm sure. 803-0550 on the Bucks. Let me talk about this team for a second and their quarterback especially. How did you feel? Dan, do you remember the 2018 draft? Do you remember going through that with the quarterbacks and Josh Rosen?
Yes, of course. Okay.
Did you have a favorite?
It was actually between Allen and Rosen for me. I knew it was going to be one or the other. I'm glad we got Allen in the end.
Yeah.
Because who knows?
Were you one of these people who wanted Josh Rosen?
I don't know for sure if I remember that. I was more I know we're going to get one of them. Either of them is fine with me because okay. I know they will just develop them and will.
You
go
thought
from
either
there.
Way, whichever guy, the Bills, you even though there really wasn't a track record yet, you felt I'm good with either. I thought the Bills would take Rosen over Allen. I did. Like, I thought they would prefer that, just considering how they were building their team at the time, what we knew a year into Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. I did not hate Josh Allen like a lot of people did. I also thought it was a very big risky move to draft Josh Allen. But the point I'm making is here, the guy I love was Baker Mayfield. I actually was a Mayfield guy. Now, he went number one. We know that. But going into that draft process, that was the guy I'm like, man, that would be the guy I would take. If I'm the Bills, I would love that guy. I don't know if he ever fit with the Bills. They had just come off Tyrod Taylor, and he was a smaller quarterback, and did they want a guy like that? You know, I didn't know if he actually fit, but to me, the guy I liked was Baker Mayfield, right? He goes number one overall to the Cleveland Browns. And take a look at that. I mean, that 18 draft, I'm just looking at it again, but he goes number one overall to Cleveland Browns. And of course, from there, it just doesn't go great. I mean, his first year, he was not bad at all. People have this notion that Baker Mayfield just comes in the league and he's this bust for the Cleveland Browns. Folks, his first year, he completed 63.8% of his passes. Not great, but okay. Threw for 3,700 yards, 27 touchdowns, and 14 interceptions. Yeah, he threw the ball to the other team a little too much. His first year he came in the league, he was not that bad. He was number two in offensive rookie of the year voting. Who won it? That was Lamar? Oh, no. Didn't Lamar get in there? No. Hold on. 2018. Patrick Mahomes. You can't give him. Oh, that was MVP. I'm looking at Rookie of the Year. Hold on. NFL AP Offensive Rookie of the Year. I should know this. Oh, Saquon. Saquon won Rookie of the Year that year. That was the Saquon draft. Okay. Anyway, so he's number two in Offensive Rookie of the Year. He was not bad when he came in the league. Then things started to go south. Things started to go sideways for him, for the Browns. And I've always believed, Baker came in the league. He had this swagger, yes, and this whole attitude about him. I do believe Baker had to kind of mature a little bit once he got to the league. And he went to kind of a place in Cleveland, which was not the most conducive environment for him to become that mature quarterback right away. He is the prime example, and I think Josh is too, but I think Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, the same draft class, by the way, are the two guys that we can shine a light on and say, the adage that's coming out lately that I agree with, organizations fail young quarterbacks more than young quarterbacks fail organizations. I'm not telling you Baker was perfect, but the Browns failed him. You know what he had? Now, his second year was a dip in production, less than 60%, 22-21 TD interception. You know what happened his third year? They go 11-5. 26 TDs, 8 interceptions. He was so up and down, though, the next year, not a good one again. But Baker Mayfield was not a bad quarterback for three-plus years in Cleveland. He wasn't. But they didn't cultivate that correctly. He winds up going to Carolina. Then he goes to the Rams for a hot minute. Remember, he started that one game. Didn't he come in for one game and play in a night game or something? No practice. Wasn't that him? I think it was. And they win. Anyway, and then he goes to Tampa, and now look what he's doing. He's flourishing. The guy's thrown for 4,000 yards each of the last 2 years. 4,500 last year. Exactly. 41 touchdowns last year. You know what he's got this year? 16 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. That's a dude that you can just keep on your team and say, we're going to build around you. And I love that for him. I love that for him. Because I have always been a Baker Mayfield fan. That's the guy I wanted. I wanted him in Buffalo. I knew that it couldn't happen. The Bills took him. I mean, the Browns took him first. I like Sam Darnold, too. But he is the poster child. And Darnold is this, too. But Baker has kind of become the poster child of player versus organization and cultivating and developing and what all that means and everything surrounding you. And when you're firing head coaches every other year, when you're firing offensive coordinators every other year, and it is not stable. When you do not have stability, young quarterbacks need stability. They need cultivating for maturity for some of them. It's a new world. It's a new life you're walking into, making that kind of money and being the savior to a franchise that's starving for a savior, right? I mean, that's a lot for anybody. The Bills handled it well with Josh Allen early on. He had the right people in place. I've always said, I've always believed that if Josh Allen was drafted by the Jets or the Browns, he would not become Josh Allen we know today. He'd be good. He wouldn't be this. And maybe they would have moved off him after a year of throwing the ball to the other team a little too much. I've also always believed that if Sam Darnold or Baker Mayfield were drafted by the Bills that year, they'd be pretty damn good in staying with the Bills right now. Maybe not MVP like Josh Allen and having what we've seen from this guy, right? I mean, that's alien another level stuff. But I've always believed that. I like Baker. I love watching him play. He's got the moxie. Him and Josh are good friends. They joked about each other yesterday. Baker saying that Josh has small hands. Josh saying Baker wears two gloves when he plays golf. Very lighthearted ribbing that they can both kind of have fun with. I like that. And he's got that swagger. He's got that attitude. How about that video? Did you see the video in the tunnel in Seattle with Baker? Remember that a few weeks ago? He's like telling the dude. Dude's getting on his case. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He starts calling him some choice words and say, let's see where you are at halftime. You're gonna be, or at the end of the game or whatever it was. And then he met up with him and he told him, and they won that game. I don't know if I need my quarterback to do that. Like, that's not something I need him to do. But I think it's cool to see because he's backing it up. Should be fun Sunday. Let's just hope that the MVP earlier season version of Baker Mayfield doesn't just show right up in Buffalo, because it's been a bit more of a struggle the last couple of weeks, and he did have a bit of an injury he was dealing with, and he hasn't been as mobile last week a little bit more, so we'll see. Should be a fun matchup. We'll take a timeout here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sean McDermott a little bit after 11 a.m. Pat Hammer on the weather Sunday in Orchard Park at 11:30. It's only the fourth time the Buccaneers will ever play in Buffalo in the regular season. First time. I remember.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. It's about getting the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. And to find candidates who match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. Stop struggling to get your job post even seen on other sites. Give your job the best chance to be seen with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. They help you stand out and hire quality candidates who can drive the results you need. Sponsored Jobs boost your post for quality candidates, so you can reach the exact people you want faster. Join the 1.6 million companies that sponsor their jobs with Indeed. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results now with Indeed sponsored jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help get your job the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
When they were the only team who had never played in Orchard Park, and then that changed in 2009. I think T.O. had a TD. I believe Dante Whitner had a pick six in that game. And then they came back in 2017, and that was a game where back and forth, and at the end of the game, the Bucks had the ball. Tre'Davious White popped the ball out. The Bills recovered. Bills win that game. And then remember, they came here just 2 years ago, Halloween week slash weekend, whatever it was, on a Thursday night. Remember that one? That came down to the end. And that was, if you remember that game came down to a Hail Mary at the end, and Baker throws it deep. And it's like, if one of the Bucks receivers had turned around, he might have actually caught it. But it didn't, and it hit the ground. You're like, woof, the Bills got away with that one. So yeah, fourth time. And by the way, the second time they're going to play this year, they played in the preseason against each other, which is very weird. You don't normally see that. The last time the Bills played a team in the preseason and regular season was actually 2018 with the Chicago Bears. That'll happen again on Sunday. Bills-Buccaneers. By the way, of course we want you to listen to the radio on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. But I have to note, growing up, this game would never be on CBS. It would be on Fox, because Fox is the network that would have the road team for the NFC. But this game's on CBS, actually. Ian Eagle, J.J. Watt, and Evan Washburn are doing it. But it is interesting because these days, these games move around all these networks, and it doesn't matter as much. You might get actually two AFC teams on Fox or two NFC teams on CBS these days. But they don't. It's not like the traditional format anymore where the NFC road team is always going to be on Fox and the AFC road team is going to be on CBS. We want you to listen to the radio. We got your coverage all day long, starting at 7 a.m., leading in Breakfast with the Bills, Countdown to Kickoff, Roundtable, and, of course, the game with Chris Brown, Eric Wood, and I'll be down on the field. We're going to hear a weather update about what that's going to be like from Pat Hammer at 11:30. Sean McDermott, a little bit after 11 a.m. here, and it's time to take a timeout to get to that spot here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Friday.
They got some guys that can rush the quarterback. Obviously, they got Vita Vea inside, who makes it harsh for your interior offensive linemen to hold their ground. They do a good job in the run game. So, and then in the back end, they got some corners that'll get up there and pressure, some longer guys that can run, and they make it tough. They showed a lot of different looks, but again, coming down to executing and making sure we're having a good practice.
That's Josh Allen, Buffalo Bills quarterback. As if I have to say that part of it, right? Welcome back to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you here on a Buffalo Football Friday, brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922. You can always tweet me at Sal Sports. You can always call 803-0550. When you do any of that, it's getting connected with our fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Bills, Buccaneers, Sunday, 1 p.m. As I said earlier, in case you haven't looked at the schedule ahead, I know not everybody's dialed into the schedule like I am or some other people out there. This is actually the final scheduled 1 p.m. game at the current Highmark Stadium. The other home games this year, Bengals, 4:25 p.m. on December 7th. Eagles, 4:25 p.m. on December 28th. And then the final game against the Jets could be at any time. So, yeah, it could be 1 o'clock. I would say maybe most likely is, but again, if the Bills are fighting for seeding with another team that has to play, that's going to play at 4 o'clock, they'll put the Bills on with that team if they impact each other and how they might treat the game, I guess, right? That's what you do in Week 18 when you're the league. Bills coming off a tough 30-13 loss to the Miami Dolphins last week, of course, and the Bucs are coming off a 28-23 loss to the New England Patriots last week. So these two teams, both at 6-3, Both have a lot riding on this game as far as where they are in their standings. But for the Bills, to me, it's a little more critical because they are chasing the 9-2 Patriots after last night. Whereas the Bucs actually have a game and a half lead over Carolina, who's 5-5. I think the Bucs can kind of just walk away with the East at this point. I'm sorry, the South, the NFC South at this point. And win, I think, what would be third straight division title. It just feels like that should be the case. Right now, by the way, if you take a look at the AFC, right now in the AFC, the Patriots actually have the top seed after the win last night. They're 9-2. The Colts are 8-2. Denver 8-2 at the 3 seed, and Pittsburgh the 4 seed at 5-4. It feels like the AFC North team is going to be the 4 seed. A lot of times it's the AFC South team. That's what's different this year. It's like the AFC South division winner, generally is like the 4 seed. Not always, I know that, but it always feels like that comes out of the case. In fact, let me look at what it has been the last few years. Let's go to, last year was Houston as the 4 seed. Year before that was Houston as the 4 seed. Year before that was Jacksonville. Oh, here we go. Year before that was Cincinnati. But yeah, so the AFC South winner is oftentimes the 4 seed. And why that's important this year, that's changed. And I think it's going to change at the end of the year. It could be the Ravens as the 4 seed. Because right now, you take a look at what's happening in the AFC North. The Steelers have a one-game lead, one, on the Baltimore Ravens. 5-4 against 4-5. The Steelers play the Bengals this week, then the Bears, then the Bills. They still have to play the Ravens twice. This is very on the table for the Ravens to win that division. And yes, they can go on a big run, the Ravens, and get a 3 seed, let's say. They're not going to get up to number one, but I don't think so. But it feels like 4 seed is very, very not only possible, maybe likely for them. Which means if you don't win the division, if you're the Bills, if you don't win the division, and you're the top non-division winner, like wildcard team, you're traveling to the number 4. That could be Buffalo at Baltimore. That first round weekend. So that's why I think you almost have to root for the Steelers to keep winning here. Root for the Steelers to win the division. They can get that 4 seed. Then if you're the Bills and you're the 5, you play at them. I don't know. A lot of football to be played, but I think about these things way too often. I mean, there's still 8 games left for most of these teams. So, yeah, I think about this stuff too often. It's just that there's a lot of football to be played. The Ravens get the Browns and the Jets, then the Bengals. I mean, they should win their next 3 games. Although Lamar Jackson is on the injury report again, and he has been banged up this year. But they should win their next 3 games and have a 6-game winning streak going into that game against Pittsburgh. Shoulda, woulda, coulda. I mean, it's the NFL, right? Bills lost to the Dolphins last week. You never know what's going to happen. A lot of football still to be played. 803-0550 is the number to call if you want to jump on board. Sean McDermott coming your way here shortly on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We'll get a final game status injury update and report on the game for Sunday between the Buccaneers and the Bills. And the names that we're really keeping an eye on here are Khalil Shakir, most likely, and Cam Lewis, who's been really excellent filling in for Taron Johnson because Johnson's been banged up. Taron Johnson has been a full participant at practice this week. If you go back to Wednesday, he was limited, but then Thursday became full with the groin injury. And, of course, didn't play last week, but it feels like he's trending towards playing. But, man, Cam Lewis has stepped in and played a nice role when he's had to play for Taron Johnson. And you'd love to have Cam Lewis available. Even if Taron's playing, Cam Lewis plays a very important role on this defense as the backup nickel, a backup safety, and a dime safety as well when he comes in. And we saw in that Kansas City game, when you can put him on the field and move Cole Bishop down in the box, that can matter too because you can play some games with guys who have different skill sets. So you'd like to see Cam Lewis be able to play, but he's been limited the last two days. So we'll see if he's available. Dalton Kincaid not expecting him to play, but we'll get the update from Sean McDermott. And then Khalil Shakir is the one we're wondering on the status, practice status, and game status because he's been limited for 2 days with an ankle injury and ribs. And has been in a non-contact, red non-contact jersey. He's the only player in a red non-contact jersey. Although he had 7 defenders limited. They were all wearing their normal blue jerseys. Why don't we take a timeout here? We'll give some space for Sean McDermott when he calls. Generally do this on a Friday. That way we don't rush the head coach of the Bills when he calls up. We can have some space for him, some time for him. We'll take a timeout here. We'll get to Sean McDermott on the other side. We'll run through the Week 11 schedule. And we'll also hear from Patrick Hammer on weather for Sunday at Highmark Stadium, which looks to be very, very dicey, tricky, interesting, and ever-changing on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
You're listening to Buffalo Bills Football Friday on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. By Kaleida Health, the official healthcare provider of the Buffalo Bills. And by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Now, here's Sal Capaccio with Buffalo Bills head coach, Sean McDermott.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott joins me on the West Her Hotline here on this Friday morning. Good morning, coach. Happy Football Friday to you once again.
Good morning, Sal. Happy Football Friday. Looking forward to a great weekend here in Western New York.
Yeah, coach, I got here this morning and I told the story. They were already putting up this really, really big Christmas tree in our building, and it sparked a debate when the right time is to put up a Christmas tree. Are you on one side or the other? Do you care when the Christmas tree goes up, or do you have to wait a certain time?
I don't think so. I used to care, you know, hey, it's got to be, you know, make sure it's after Thanksgiving. But at this point, I think so many people are doing it whenever it works for them. And that's, I think, with everything that people have going on these days, that's probably about right.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then last night, speaking of Christmas, I have to tell you, I went to the Hallmark movie premiere last night, and you're in the movie. You have a nice scene with the lead actor, Matt Daddario. What was that experience like for you going back several months and being a part of that?
Yeah, it was unique. It really was. You know, you never think you'd be in a situation like that. And then I think the unique part about it was also you get to look kind of behind the scenes of how movies are made and how that process unfolds. And, you know, it's not all that much different than when you're trying to win a game and the process leading up to a game. So pretty cool experience. I don't think they'll be asking me back for other movies. but very humbling in that way.
Yeah, it was cool. A lot of people came out last night in East Aurora. It was really great to see so many people and support the movie premiere. I'm glad there's a good segue by you, by the way, about the process of the week. I want to rewind a little bit to last Sunday. A lot's been made of what we heard in the locker room from some of your leaders and, you know, saying about the Dolphins, how well they came out and how they played and harder and things like that. You said you have a leadership council. You address that. How do you think your team has responded this week throughout practice and paying attention to the details and knowing, you know, how critical it is to be on top of everything?
Yeah, it's kind of getting back to, you know, true north and what leads to winning and all that goes into it. So we won't really know until we take the field Sunday here a couple of days. But at the end of the day, you got to have that process, got to have that mindset every week. This league is hard. It's hard to win one game regardless of records. And you got to go out there and earn it every week.
Bills Buccaneers Sunday at 1 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. All right, coach, you have 14 players listed on your injury report, but only a couple were DNPs yesterday. A couple were limited. Is there anybody you know will not play in the game on Sunday?
Yes, two guys. So it'll be Dalton Kincaid will not play, and then Fedarian Mathis, our D tackle, will not play either. Both will be out for this game.
Okay. How is Khalil Shakir? What is his status leading into today and the game on Sunday?
Yeah, he's heading in the right direction, should be in a good spot for the game.
And then the other one is Cam Lewis as well. He was the other limited guy yesterday.
Similar, yeah. He's going to be going through it today. We'll be smart with him and see how he comes through today's practice and then on into the weekend.
You signed a notable player to the practice squad, a couple guys, Morgan Fox and Mecole Hardman, but I specifically want to ask you about Mecole. It's a player you're familiar with. You've gone against him from the defensive side of things. What can he bring to your football team, both from a practice squad standpoint, where he is now, and maybe even eventually if he's on the 53-man roster?
Yeah, we'll see where that part goes. You know, more than anything, you're talking about a wide receiver that also has dueled as a dual returner in his career. And, you know, like you mentioned, going against him and what he was able to bring to the table. And so, you know, there's a lot that goes into it in terms of the reasons why. And, you know, some of it is the return game for sure. And then how everybody on the roster counts in terms of what you can take into the game. So, you know, a player that has the ability to do the return game and also play a position and whatnot is beneficial. So we'll see where it goes. as we head down the road here.
I think it's the third week in a row I've asked you about Gabe Davis, but he's obviously very intriguing, and he goes through the practice week. How do you think Gabe has responded? I know last week you guys put a little bit on him and you backed off him a little bit. How did this week go for him?
Yeah, he's had a good week. You know, he continues to get himself ready to go, and I really appreciate his steadfast nature in terms of him continuing to push and get himself back to where he wants to be.
And then last guy, and this is TJ Sanders, comes back from injured reserve. He's on the IR to return list. How did you feel that he responded in his first action back?
Well, you know, just one day at a time, and, you know, he's still a young player. He's missing a number of weeks now, so you know, he's got to get caught up to where the team is, and we'll see where heads into the weekend with his availability for us.
Coach Cole Bishop, I'm reading the Bills PR even put the stat out, which is pretty cool. It says he's the only player in the NFL this season to record 50 or more tackles, 2 or more sacks, and 2 or more interceptions. It feels like, you know, he's really just had a bit of a different trajectory here, maybe even since that interception in the New Orleans game and the confidence we talked about could build off of. And, of course, there's been some changes on the back end. How do you feel that Cole's trajectory, like I said, I'll call it, has kind of changed with him since he's been available, since he's been on the field getting the reps?
Well, it's part of the journey, right? And it's a journey that you hope heads in this type of trajectory, as you mentioned. And, you know, sometimes whether it was that one play, that one interception that kind of sparked him, maybe sparked his confidence, what have you. What I'm seeing now more than anything is his tenacious nature, the way he's playing physical, nasty, flying around, making plays in the run game, making plays in the pass game as well, and taking the ball away. So I love the trajectory he's on right now.
I really like what you said about Baker Mayfield earlier this week, and you know, how much respect you have for him, for what he brings, his attitude to the game, and his ability. Can you kind of just tell us about what you've seen on film from him and what he's been able to do for that Buccaneers offense so far this year?
Yeah, great player. Great player for our league. Heck of a competitor. Ton of respect for his game. You know, it's like one of those guys you grow up playing around with, but you're never on his team, and you're like, man, this guy's he's a winner. And I mentioned earlier, the Detroit Lions were in a game this year with him and his team, and they were up, you know, I think it was 2 scores or 1.5 scores, and it took them 19 plays on defense to end it because Baker kept making plays on fourth down after fourth down after fourth down. So I think that right there is a great example of who he is and what type of competitor he is.
One stat I ran across this week, which I thought was interesting, is your team has the second worst right now starting field position in the league. Actually, the worst is the Super Bowl champion Philadelphia Eagles. And I think about that, and it's like, well, you could have a turnover in the other end. You could have a punt return that bounces a certain way. Those are hidden yardages, though, right? That's hidden yardage that you guys like to talk about a lot. Can you kind of tell us what goes into just thinking about all those little things and maybe the difference even of a 3-4 yard drive start and how it could end?
Yeah, you're right. It's in the margins. The league is so competitive week to week. You know, we saw that last week. We're reminded of it. And, you know, whether it's special teams in this case or other parts of the game, every play matters. Every last play matters. And that's part of educating our young players in that regard as well. And this league is what it is for a reason. So every play matters. Field position matters. Every blade of grass in this case matters. And so that return game or what have you that's factoring into that is important for us.
All right, Coach, you get back home here for the Buccaneers. We're going to have Pat Hammer on in a little while to give us a weather update, but it should be a little bit more Buffalo type of weather here for a game for a team coming up from Florida. How important is Bills Mafia to get back inside that stadium for a Sunday 1 p.m. game for you guys?
Yeah, we look forward to it. Every time we can get around home and play in front of them, and this is unique. This place is special for a reason, and they're a big part of that.
Sean McDermott, thank you very much, and good luck on Sunday. We'll talk to you next week, a little bit earlier next week, but we'll talk to you next week.
Sounds great, Sal. Have a great weekend.
All right, you too. That is Sean McDermott. And good news on the injury front for Khalil Shakir and Cam Lewis. Not so good news for Dalton Kincaid and Fedarian Mathis. Those are the two players he's ruled out. Dalton Kincaid and Fedarian Mathis. I do not think that's a surprise. I'm really happy, maybe pleasantly surprised, though, even saying that he said Khalil Shakir is trending in good spot, likes where he is. And the same thing with Cam Lewis. I think those are two very important players. The Bills injury report is lengthy, but I like it. I like where it is now. Now, that said, I don't like the fact they don't have Michael Hoyt for the rest of the year, of course. That's terrible. I don't like the fact that they don't have Ed Oliver for the next maybe end of the year, into the playoffs, whatever. That's not good. Of course not. Dorian Strong, his situation, that does not sound good. Like, that's a that's a young player who was looking like he could be a player in this league to really help them. Got the neck injury. Talked about that a couple of weeks ago, where that's going. So, yes, there are players that are injured, that are gone for the year or the majority of the year that you wish you had and you don't have them. Dwayne Carter could be helping out on the defensive line, right? Taylor Rapp, yes, I know he wasn't playing up to the level you want him to, but maybe the injury is a part of the reason he's not there. He's not available. You have safety concerns at times. Tyler Bass. I can run through this list. But when it comes to the active list, the people who are active on the roster, who are going to play or not going to play, looks like only two this week will be out. We know that officially right now with Dalton Kincaid and Fedarian Mathis. But by the time we get to Sunday, maybe they are the only two. And of course, every time we talk injuries with Sean McDermott and get you the final game status and injury report, it is the Barnes Firm injury report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help? Call 1-800-8-MILLION. Okay. Let's run through some of week 11, which started last night, and then we're going to get Pat Hammer on the line here. We don't need to take a break because we already did that. So let's start it off with what happened last night. And, of course, that was the Tampa. That's who the Bills are playing. That was the New England Patriots taking care of the New York Jets. Although I will say the Jets kind of made it a bit of a game early, right? 7-0. I have to be honest. I was at the movie premiere, and I did check my phone to see the score once in a while. I just did. I'm sorry. It was on silent and all that, but I had to. What's the game going? Oh, there's my scene. Yeah. So, you know, I had to do that. Three touchdowns for Travion Henderson. One in the receiving game, two in the run game. I mean, he only averaged 3.3 yards a carry. They didn't run the ball that great, but they did enough, and they were efficient enough. The Patriots just, the Jets have no offense. They can't throw the ball. I mean, Justin Fields did throw for 116 yards. Yay, he broke 100 yards, right? I mean, and he did have a five-yard touchdown run, but man, they just can't move the ball. Patriots win 27-14. They are now atop the AFC East at 9-2. 9-2. Jets fall to 2-8. Buccaneers Bills on Sunday. Let's get a weather report from Pat Hammer. We're going to do that here in just a second. Actually, I see that he is calling, so we'll get to Pat Hammer here in just a moment. Your Sunday slate, though, begins with a game overseas in Ireland, right? Is that where the, I think, Ireland, right? Is the Commanders and Dolphins are in Ireland? No, where are they?
It's Madrid.
Madrid, Spain. I'm sorry. Was Ireland last week? No, that was Berlin last week. I'm like really confused on all these international games because they're all over the place. Berlin last week, right? For the Colts and the Falcons.
Right.
So Madrid. All right. That's going to happen on Sunday morning. So when you get up Sunday morning, don't forget, I always remind everybody, check your fantasy lineups, 9:30 a.m. Eastern start. Commanders, Dolphins. Commanders and Dolphins are both 3-7, both looking to get their fourth win of the year. Commanders without Jaden Daniels still. Dolphins, after a big win against the Bills, of course, looking to win, by the way, for the Dolphins, they're looking to win three of their last four. They did beat the Falcons before losing to the Ravens and then beating the Bills. Commanders just not having the season that a lot of people thought they would. They started the year 3-2, but since then, they've lost five in a row. And their defense has failed them. 44, 38, 28, 44, 25 in those contests. All right, let's get to our buddy Pat Hammer. Let's take a look at the weather on Sunday.
Break it down.
When you need to know what to wear, is it going to rain? Is it going to snow? What to prepare for? You're about to find out. Here's Sal Capaccio with your game day forecast with Channel 2 weatherman extraordinaire. Here's Patrick.
Have a time.
I told Pat to be ready for a dual forecast today because the Bills have two games in 4 days. So we'll get to the second one in just a moment, but of course, all eyes on Sunday, where it seems like it's ever-changing, not looking great. But we're going to find out here with WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist Pat Hammer. Good morning to you.
I'm just glad that you're having me back after what happened in Miami and the downpour that you found yourself in when I, with pure and 100% confidence, said, you will not need rain gear. And what did you need?
You needed rain gear. I want you to know I've never brought it up. You brought it up. I did not tell the audience this.
I know.
Okay.
I just, I'm going back and I'm looking at the shot you sent me and listening to the broadcast talk about the downpour. And I literally went into the fetal position and just was like, I cannot believe this is happening.
Okay. So I will tell you this though, because I lived there and because I've done enough games there, I did bring a little rain gear. So even though you said not to, it was thin enough. I'm like, I'm just going to pack it. You never know. It's Florida, right? Wasn't because I didn't trust you. I'm just like, you just never know. It's like a shower pops up. That said, I didn't have it with me on the field at the time. So I had a towel that I put over my head. But it wasn't terrible for me because the way it happened was there was only maybe, I don't even, midway through the second quarter, three quarters of the way through.
Right.
And you had halftime. And I also, the way that stadium's designed, I was able to kind of stand in the tunnel with like some covering a little bit, you know? So I get more worried about my equipment than me in my head, you know, more than anything.
Right.
Sometimes that's what I worry about.
Yeah. Well, and as you know, having lived there, these little storms can just pop up out of nowhere and they just drift. You can't even tell where they're going.
And then they last for a while too.
Yes. Yes. And luckily that one didn't last too long, but, anyway, we're going to try this again, Sal.
Okay. let's rewind and reset. Let me tell everybody, though, Pat does a great job. Honestly, all of that aside, I know it matters to you, and I know you're in this business, right? That's what you do. I get it. And you're never going to be perfect. And, you know, you made a call there, and it wasn't the totally right call, but you knew. And you said to me, you said, Sal, I should have never said don't take it because it's Florida, right? You know that.
Right.
But it's okay. We trust you, and that's why we bring you on every week, and you do a great job. So let's talk about Sunday, where I've been eyeing this. And I have to tell you, I have friends coming from Florida, a friend of mine and his wife. They are both teachers. He's actually a principal. I coached with him in Florida. Very dear friends of mine. Now, she is from Michigan, so they're used to the colder weather, and they've been up there. So I get all that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been hoping for not terrible weather for them to come up and watch this game inside the stadium. I'm hoping you tell me it's not terrible, but we're going to have to deal with some stuff maybe on that side. You tell me what we're looking at here.
So here's the deal. I don't want to use the word terrible. How this is setting up is we're going to have, let's just kind of give you the setup for Sunday. Saturday, we're going to have some rain roll through in the afternoon. That's tomorrow. A cold front with that rain blows through Orchard Park, like overnight, Saturday night into Sunday morning. Okay. That front has long gone by the tailgating and the game. However, behind that front, the temperatures are dropping. So if you wake up, and by the way, if you're looking at an app, which is fine, you'll see a high for Sunday of like 47, 48 degrees. Well, that's it. That's at 12:01 a.m. The temperature is going to drop a little bit kind of throughout the day. So by kickoff, it's probably going to be about 39. And by, let's say, the fourth quarter, maybe 37, 38. It's not one of those rapid midwinter type of cold snaps, but it is going to be getting a little colder throughout the game. And with the wind, it's going to feel like in the upper 20s to around 30. So it's going to be chilly. It is going to be cool, and it is going to be windy. The snow or the rain, there might be a couple of snow showers that work through. You know, those are also hard to predict. They're coming right off the lake. I'm thinking, of course, back to the 49ers game last year when one of those bands did set up over the stadium and stayed there. I don't see it working out like that. But I do think there is a chance of, during the tailgate and during the game, there could be a little snow shower that moves through. The bigger story, though, I think, is the breeze. And that could be more of an issue. It's not going to be a tempest like other games. This is like the 25 to 30. The wind will be swirling in there. You know, kicking games could be affected, things like that. But I think the biggest story is just that we haven't had a real windy game yet to deal with, and this will be the first one, at least this season, and I think that's the biggest obstacle in our way.
Is the wind going to be throughout the entire game, starting at kickoff and then throughout? Does it change throughout, get better or worse?
It's not going to change in terms of direction, but if anything, and maybe in a 3.5 hour window during the game, 3.5, 4 hour window, I don't think it's really going to change in that. but it's going to be a 15 to 20, 25, but there will be some 35 mile an hour gusts in there. And that's when it really gets swirling. I know. You'll see the flags moving or cranking, you know, during the game.
Yeah.
And I just don't see it changing during the game. Sometimes that can happen. Oh, we'll see a big drop off after the halftime or something like that. This is going to be kind of a, it's going to be a breezy, breezy day. I don't want to call it windy, but breezy is a good way to describe it.
No, no, that's a good. I like that. Is it sustainable? Like, will there be times and pockets where it's not as bad, and then you're just going to feel the gusts, or pretty much throughout, you're just going to feel this thing?
I think you're going to pretty much feel this thing.
Okay.
There's times, if we were under a true like lake effect scenario,
yeah,
the wind can get really crazy when it starts snowing. Okay. This is not going to be like that. There might be some sun peeking through at times, okay? But I think be prepared for a chilly day. Be prepared for a breezy day. It may not snow, but if a snow shower moves through, don't be surprised. And temperatures, yeah, right around 40. That's not awful. I mean, we've played in a lot colder than that.
Yeah.
This is not December weather. This is still mid-November, so... for November standards, this will be a little on the chilly side.
Okay, when you say snow, but what about if it's that temp? What about rain? You know, would rain? Tell me, educate me. Wouldn't rain be more likely than snow in that situation?
That's a great question. I mean, 40 degrees. It's the air mass up high. Okay, so it gets really, really cold the farther you go up. So that's a scenario where it can be 38, 39 degrees and it's snowing versus rain, just because it gets a lot colder quickly. Yeah, is there a little raindrop that falls? Maybe, but I think this is going to be more of a threat of a little snow. Maybe with the raindrop, but again, it shouldn't last too long. These will be quick passing showers,
okay,
if at all.
So a few days ago, it looked like it was going to be much more precipitation to me on my end, but then this was. Is that right? Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It did look like this was going to be a wetter day, but the rain is coming through Saturday afternoon versus Sunday. That's a good thing. So we won't, if this was a Saturday 1 p.m. kickoff, it would be a lot warmer, but it would be wetter. So the fact that we're getting rid of the rain sooner is good for Sunday, but the other side of it, it will be cooler because of it.
All right, so my friends, it'll be a little warmer and rain tomorrow. They're coming up from Florida, and then for the game, bundle up, be ready for the wind, but you know, it's not going to be the worst Buffalo weather. You get a little experience here, I guess, inside the stadium. And then how about after the game? Sunday night, tailgating, people who stick around, that happens because of the traffic or whatever they're doing, what the drive home is like, and then into Monday. And what does next early week look like here in Buffalo?
So, I think chances for snow actually may ramp up a little bit Sunday night into early Monday. We're not talking anything big, but there could be some snow showers Sunday night into Monday. And then it looks, next week kind of starts off cool, and then it looks rather quiet. However, our eyes are going to be on Houston next Thursday.
Yeah.
And there is some rain potentially heading that way for next Thursday.
Well, they do have a dome. They do have a dome. They'll close it. It's a retractable. I'm more concerned about people going. I know a lot of people going down there for the game on Wednesday night and into Thursday during the day, but that does matter for them. For the game itself, they can just close the roof, obviously. But what if Bills fans, I know Bills fans who are going on Wednesday, that will be there from Wednesday through, you know, Friday morning.
Yeah, there's a ton of rain heading into Southern California. You're going to be hearing about that in the news lately. That rain eventually is going to push in and move into Texas, and that may time out pretty well with the Bills game next week. So that's something we're going to watch if you are traveling to Houston next week. But that's a discussion for another time in terms of getting the forecast right. I think the chance of rain is there Thursday. I think the chance of chilly weather here on Sunday is pretty high.
Okay. Can you discern anything about what our Thanksgiving is starting to look like right now?
Good question. I believe that leading up to Thanksgiving, it's actually going to warm up pretty nicely here in the grand plan. Okay. The weather that we had here, of course, earlier this week, we had, you know, of course, the snow on Saturday, Sunday and Sunday night. That was pretty cold for this time of the year, Monday as well.
Yeah.
We're not going to see any of that for a while. I think numbers next week and Thanksgiving week should get warmer. I don't see any cold coming. It's after Thanksgiving where I think the tide has turned and we get into a much colder, potentially snowier weather pattern as we enter a new month. That's way down the road, but there are signals that suggest December may certainly get our attention weather-wise this year. If you recall, our worst weather didn't come until January, February. I have a hunch that this year it's going to be more December. So a heads up for that. But leading into Thanksgiving, I don't see any real wintry weather heading our way over the next 2 weeks after Sunday.
I went to the movie premiere last night, the Hallmark movie premiere. It was in East Aurora, and we went in the theater. I'm watching the movie, and, you know, it's set during Christmas. And then I remembered, wait, they filmed this thing in May. They did a good job of making it look like it was winter, though. I'll tell you that.
I know. Well, I just remember you were talking about it on your show. Filmed and you had a role in it in June, I think it was, when there was the filming, and it was hard to like wrap your arms around it. You're like, it's June. How do we get into Christmas mode, you know, 6 months ahead of time? Now here, fast forward, here we are. And it seemed pretty festive up there last night. We had camera crews up there as well.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And the East Aurora turned out. That was great. Even the Today Show was there filming it last night, and they were there live this morning. So, that was cool to see. And maybe your acting career got a launch. We'll see.
It could have taken a big hit, too. Taking a big hit. We don't know about that. There was this like parade beforehand, and people walking down, and the cast members who were all over there. And, oh, my God, thousands of Bills fans in East Aurora lining the streets. It was pretty amazing. And I'm walking right with Steve Tasker. And I don't even know, but Steve lives in East Aurora, right? And I'm like, Steve, let's be honest. This is what it's like for you every time you walk down the street here, isn't it? You
know what I mean? I know. There was actually a clip of Steve like on the red probably the same red carpet you were on, and he's getting interviewed by like Entertainment Tonight or whatever. It was just like, oh, this is a typical Steve Tasker, Thursday night in East Aurora.
That's exactly right. Hey, thanks a lot. Listen, next week's a little funky week. Practices, obviously, I'll be down there. You'll have Zach and Derek, but if you don't mind, we might check in with you on Wednesday or even Thursday leading up to the game that night.
I'll be here. Look forward to it.
All right, you got it. Thanks a lot. Pat Hammer on the West Her Hotline, WGRZ TV2 Chief Meteorologist. Why would you check in with him on a dome, Sal? Because there's people going to be there. People listen all around the world. I learn this all the time. I learn all the time about how many people listen to this show, this radio station, from all around the world, all around the country, and I could be in a different city and like, I listen from here, I listen from there. You think there's not people listening that are in Houston, in Texas, going to Houston for the game? Of course. What's the weather going to be like at the game? Yes, there's a dome, but I'm going. I want to walk from my car. I want to tailgate. I want to go after the game. That's why we'll get with them the next week to talk about what's going on in Houston. And then maybe a week from today, we're talking about the Bills going to 8-3, feeling a lot better about where they are in the standings, still having a look at the AFC East and taking 10 days to get ready for the Pittsburgh Steelers. I like what he said about Thanksgiving, because if that holds true, then maybe Pittsburgh won't be that bad either. Thanksgiving weekend. Bills play just all the Bills games this year outside of Houston and Miami, really. I guess you'd say Atlanta and Carolina, but you know, they play a lot of East Coast games this year, a lot. The away games are, you know, of course, your typical Jets and Patriots, along with the Dolphins, but Steelers and Browns, right? And then a lot of home games late in the year. So from here on out, all you're getting is next week in Houston. Next Thursday night in Houston is all you're getting for the Bills when it comes to, like, I don't know, dome good weather, whatever. Because after that, it's at Pittsburgh, home game against Cincy, at New England, at Cleveland, home game against the Eagles, home game against the Jets. Starts off on Sunday. There's your weather forecast. Kickoff about 39 degrees, dropping down slightly by the end of the fourth quarter. The wind will make it feel colder because we're looking at 25 to 30 mile an hour gusts at times, 15 to 20 mile an hour winds. And the Bills and Buccaneers play at 1. We'll take a look at the schedule. I'll wrap up that part of it here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show, the rest of the league and the rest of the week here on WGR after this. All right, while the Buccaneers come up from the NFC South to take on the Bills, their counterparts are taking on each other in Atlanta. Panthers 5-5, Falcons 3-6. Panthers still trying to keep pace with the Bucs, and if the Bills win, Bucs 6-4, Panthers 6-5. pretty interesting there. Chargers are at the Jaguars. That's a really big leverage game for the swings of both teams' chances of playoffs, and Chargers keeping pace with the division, but the Jags looking to go 6-4, and they're squarely right there, and they, remember, have that head-to-head against the Chiefs. Chargers looking to keep pace in the AFC West. Bears are at the Vikings, and Caleb Williams looking to keep it rolling with the Bears right now after they lost a couple of games to start the year. They've been very good ever since. The Vikings with a big win a couple weeks ago, then they drop one. It's Bears-Vikings at 1 p.m. in the NFC North. The Giants have their first game without Brian Daboll. They take on the Packers. Packers 5-3-1, Giants 2-8. But I think if the Giants, I give the Giants a very good chance here because the Packers' offense has not been right. A lot of conversations there, just like we have in here in Buffalo about what's happening. Giants off a bump, if you will. They say that off a moving on from a coach. A lot of times that happens. And I think that they'll give them a game here. Bengals at Steelers. I can't expect the Bengals to win this game with the Steelers, you know, being able to probably move the ball against this really terrible Bengals defense. But, man, the Bengals might be able to score some points here. We'll see what happens. Big AFC North game there for the Bengals to at least try to stay alive and the Steelers to keep pace and ahead of the Ravens. Texans at Titans. Then the Texans come host the Bills Thursday night. No C.J. Stroud for the Texans. 4-5 for them. So it's Davis Mills again. Titans 1-8 right now. Could be in line for the number one pick again. 49ers at the Cardinals in the A in the NFC West. Cardinals hosting at 3-6. No Kyler Murray. Is Brock Purdy playing? Do we even know that right now? I don't even know.
I believe so.
Okay, so they're 6-4, looking to go 7-4. Seahawks and Rams. What a big time matchup that is. In the NFC West. 7-2 at 7-2 could really kind of decide the division there. In fact, they actually play each other coming up here twice over the next several weeks. And then finally, that, by the way, is a 4:25 p.m. game. That's a 4:05 game. Ravens-Browns is 4:25. Ravens looking to still be a factor in the AFC North. Browns are not going to be, but you never know with these two teams, right? Weirder things have happened. Chiefs, alpha bye, taking on the Broncos. They cannot lose this game to the Broncos, or it might be lights out for them for the division. Broncos at 8-2, looking to go 9-2, keep pace with the Patriots in the AFC, and the Chiefs 5-4 right now. Lions 6-3 at Eagles 7-2 on Sunday night. We'll get to your Monday night game on Monday, but have a great weekend. Of course, Bills taking on the Buccaneers Sunday at 1 p.m. All of your pregame and day coverage here on WGR and along the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Have a great weekend.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS.
With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.